The readings appointed for Ash Wednesday reveal a distinct theme. In addition to what we just heard, I want to read just a brief part of the passage from Joel in the Old Testament and then from 2 Corinthians. In Joel chapter 2, it says, "Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing." And then 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes, "We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." Three of the four appointed passages for today warn us about practicing our piety superficially, with selfish motives that are designed to impress others or ourselves, but really have no value as it relates to our relationship with God. And that's a good warning for us as we go into a season of spiritual practices. You know, Jesus' words to his disciples, you know, are a word of warning. Not to fast and pray and to give alms like the Pharisees, who did so to fuel their own sense of pride and self-righteousness. In Isaiah, Israel's fasting, their Sabbath fasting, left much to be desired, because like the Pharisees of Jesus' day, it led to self-absorption rather than authentic humility and concern for their neighbor. And in Joel, the tone is even more ominous as you read that passage. Disaster is at the doorstep, an invading army, a plague of locusts, a drought. And what can the people do? Is there any hope? If so, hope won't be found in perfunctory repentance that is simply superficial or external, that has all of the external trappings of fasting and weeping and tearing their clothes. No, to avoid the coming judgment, only true repentance, a rending of the heart, will suffice. Superficiality will not do. They must genuinely return to the Lord, and then they will find him gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. But certainly disaster is not at our doorstep, right? I think a better question is, if it were, would we even know it? I would suggest that disaster is not only at the doorstep, it's in our family room. It's all around us, but I'm not sure much of the time that we even notice, that we're even paying any attention. Little by little, like the proverbial frog in the kettle, we become accustomed to hearing and to seeing just the darkness of our contemporary society, and sometimes even presented to us with a sense of elation. And we become desensitized. We become desensitized to it, even though it's all around us, and perhaps even in us. And this dark story, it plays out, you know, in our cities, in our neighborhoods, in our homes, even in our own bodies. We live with envy, hatred, slander, and dreariness in our hearts. We live and see violence that kills, that destroys families, that bring wars and conflicts in so many countries of the world. You know, the brutality that we read and hear about every day being perpetrated around the world has reached epidemic levels. The suffering of the innocent assaults us. Neglect for the most fragile of people and nations is not far from us. And the rule of greed, the love of money, and all of its evil effects, drugs, I mean, when you think of it, corruption, human trafficking, along with the misery, both materially and morally, these are the currency of the day. And the fact that these sins grow, not only out there, But in our own families, in our neighborhoods and cities, it testifies to our limitations, to our own weakness, to our inability to transform these destructive forces. And that sense of powerlessness makes us wonder, does it make any sense to try and change all of this? Can we really do anything? Is it worthwhile to try when the world continues to disguise this tragedy, at least for a little while? But sometimes, you know, the mask comes off and the truth appears and sin becomes obvious with all of its destructive force. Lent is a shout into all of that that says, yes, it is possible not to put on makeup and to draw on smiles and pretend that nothing has happened. Yes, it is possible that all will be made new because God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Lent is a time where we are encouraged to begin anew. Today we are invited to journey down a road that leads to life, a path that includes the cross and resignation, a path that is uncomfortable but is not in vain, that is not fruitless. We are invited in this season of Lent, we are invited to admit that something is wrong. And not just something is wrong out there. We are invited to admit that something inside of us is not well. We are invited to change, to turn around. Before we can change the world, we have to change what is in here. And the words of the prophet Joel are strong and challenging. Rend your hearts, not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God. These words are an invitation to us. As we enter this season of Lent, with our practices of prayer and fasting and almsgiving, we must remember that we need to rend our hearts. Because only rending our clothing, only doing what is on the surface, is of no eternal value. Our Archbishop, Foley Beach, I received an email from him this morning that went out to people in the Anglican Church. His Ash Wednesday message, he encouraged us to use Lent for doing this very thing, rending our hearts. He encouraged all of us to engage in self-examination. What are the sins with which we have become comfortable? What are the sins that we have become blind to? We must ask ourselves these hard questions rather than simply going through the motions and rending our clothing. We must rend our hearts and say with the psalmist, we have sinned. The great Baptist preacher in England, Charles Spurgeon, wrote this, O ye mourners, seek ye a balm for your wounds. Let me proclaim it unto you. Ye are not ignorant of it, I trust, but let me apply that in which you already place your confidence. The God of heaven knows your sorrows. Repair you to his throne and tell your simple tale of woe. Then cast your burden on him. He will bear it. Open your heart before him. He will heal it. Think not that you are beyond hope. You would be if there were no God of love and pity. But while Jehovah lives, the mourner need not despair. This is the reality of our human condition. This is the truth that leads to authentic reconciliation between God and man. This is not a matter of just putting ourselves down and trying to discredit our own sense of self-worth, but it's a matter of penetrating our hearts to the fullest and to take responsibility for the sin and the suffering and the pain that resides there. Because covering it up, only rending our clothing, lets the ruin that is inside us grow. We need to open it up, have the courage to open up our hearts and place them before the Lord so He can heal us. Rend your hearts, open your hearts, because only with an open heart can we receive the Father's love. Rend your hearts, the prophet says, and Paul asks us, he even begs us, be reconciled to God. Changing our way of living, turning around, is both a sign and a fruit of a torn heart, of a rended heart, reconciled to God by His love that overwhelms us. This is God's invitation. Rend your hearts to experience in prayer the mercy of God. Rend your hearts to experience in fasting that we live not by bread, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Rend your hearts to see the brokenness of the world so that indifference to the pain and suffering doesn't paralyze us. Rend your hearts to be able to love, to console, and to share what you have received. The season that we start today is not only for us as individuals, but also for the transformation of our families, our communities, our church, and our world. These are 40 days that we set aside that we may be transformed as those who receive His grace and experience the salvation that Christ has won for us by His death and resurrection. And so as Christ Church, journeying towards Easter and believing that the kingdom of God has come and is coming, we need our hearts torn open by our desire for Christ, for His love, for His grace, not only so that we can receive, but also so that we can turn those blessings outward, turn outward to a world that is desperate, that is desperately in need of the gospel and the hope that it brings. The ancient church father, John Chrysostom, he wrote this, "No act of virtue can be large if it does not benefit another. Therefore, no matter how you spend the day fasting, no matter how you may sleep on a hard floor, and how you may eat ashes and sigh continuously, if you do not do good to others, you do not accomplish anything great." This journey of Lent that we are traveling is an opportunity that God gives us to grow and to mature in our relationship with Him. And to be sure, our vision of advancing the good news of God's kingdom will be nothing more than words on a piece of paper if it does not flow out of an ever-increasing passion for Jesus Christ. So therefore, may God grant us a holy Lent.